In the bitter winter of 1931, Eliza Wyatt stands at the edge of despair. With her husband Sam and his father Frank both dead within 6 months of each other, she faces an impossible task: managing a 300-acre apple orchard with three small children and no farming experience. The Great Depression has already forced neighboring farms into foreclosure, and vulture-like neighbors circle, waiting for her inevitable failure. Her only ally is Frank's eccentric Aunt Betty, Batty, who insists on praying for a guardian angel to save the orchard. When a polite but ragged hobo named Gabriel Harper appears at her door one freezing evening asking for work in exchange for a meal, something about his clear blue eyes touches Eliza's heart. Little does she know that this stranger will unearth secrets that have been buried for generations and perhaps become the answer to Batty's prayers. Gabe's arrival brings both hope and mystery to the struggling farm. After completing repairs overnight that would have taken Eliza days, he collapses from a festering leg wound. Snowbound, Eliza tends to him at home, discovering a suspicious scar above his heart, resembling a bullet wound. While nursing him, she finds his notebook titled Prodigal Son, revealing his troubled past. He once dared his brother Johnny to retrieve a sled from a frozen pond, resulting in the boy's drowning. "Johnny is dead, and I'm the one who killed him," Gabe confesses in his writing. Eliza's financial situation worsens when the bank reveals Frank had secretly mortgaged the farm, giving her just 90 days to pay $500 or lose everything. The family lawyer delivers another blow. Frank willed everything to his elder son Matthew, presumed dead in the war, not to Eliza or her children. As she investigates Matthew Wyatt, she wonders, could Gabe Harper actually be Matthew in disguise? Behind Aunt Batty's eccentricities, naming pets Winky and Holy Moses, lies Betsy Gibson, a celebrated children's author who also writes adventure novels as Herman Walters. Her life reads like one of her stories. Once arranged to marry Frank Wyatt, she found true love with Walter Gibson, a wealthy but ailing Chicagoan. While Frank's courtship was formal and cold, Walter connected with Betty through literature and meaningful conversation. Their intellectual bond blossomed into love. Meanwhile, Betty's sister Lydia, pregnant by a married traveling salesman, deliberately seduced Frank to escape her situation. She manipulated him into marriage. Their child would become Matthew Wyatt, whose true paternity remained a family secret. Walter and Betty married in a simple ceremony by the pond, with Betty barefoot wearing wild roses in her hair. Before dying, Walter established a trust fund for Betty and secretly submitted her manuscript to publishers. When Eliza discovers Batty's wealth, the author readily agrees to help save the orchard, retrieving hundreds of dollars hidden inside books about greed, Silas Marner, and A Christmas Carol, enough to pay the mortgage. As spring approaches, Batty reveals the Wyatt family's tragic history. After youngest son Willie drowned, which Batty blamed on Frank's favoritism, the family disintegrated. Matthew and Samuel blamed themselves, accepting their father's abuse as deserved punishment. Lydia fell into depression, while Frank expressed grief through rage, once claiming Willie's death was God's punishment for their adultery. Despite Matthew's farming talent, his hatred for Frank grew alongside his love for the orchard. The tension climaxed in 1916 when Frank caught Matthew kissing a local girl and attacked him with a buggy whip. Matthew fought back with years of pent-up rage until Samuel intervened. To stop the violence, Lydia revealed, "Frank isn't your real father, Matthew." Matthew was stunned, first joyful at sharing no blood with his tormentor, then betrayed that his mother had allowed years of abuse despite this truth. Frank immediately banished him. After Matthew wrote from France forgiving his mother, Lydia stabbed Frank and drowned herself, though Frank claimed both were accidents. After Sheriff Foster questions whether Gabe might be impersonating Matthew Wyatt, he disappears, leaving Eliza confused about his identity. His partially burned notebook reveals he began writing at age 10 to express himself, developing a severe stutter under his prominent attorney father's expectations. Gabe's disappearance forces Eliza to confront her own hidden past. She confesses to Aunt Batty that she married Sam without love, seeking only his beautiful home's stability. Her true story emerges. She grew up in the circus with her father Henry, a clown, after her mother abandoned them. The circus community taught her practical skills, cooking, sewing, and makeup. "It's the heart that matters, Aunt Peanut," a little person billed as Queen Lily would say, "not what people look like on the outside." At 18, while performing in New Orleans, Eliza discovered her mother was alive, not dead as she'd been told. Furious at the deception, she left during her father's performance, buying a train ticket north with no destination except finding a quiet village. She stepped off in Deer Springs, inventing a story about her family dying in the influenza epidemic. After a successful apple harvest, a letter confirms Matthew Wyatt's death, legally securing the orchard for Eliza's family. During Christmas, watching her children decorate their tree, Eliza feels surrounded by love. Later that evening, Gabe reveals his shocking truth. He's actually Matthew Willis, son of Albany's political boss. The real Matthew Wyatt was a fellow soldier who saved his life and, dying, insisted on switching dog tags, offering Gabe escape from his father's corrupt influence. Gabe's recent absence was spent legally rectifying his identity while protecting Eliza's claim to the orchard. By spring, they marry, and Eliza's wish to reconnect with her circus family comes true. They visit Bennett Brothers Circus, where her father performs his signature stilt routine. In the sideshow tent, her circus family embraces them all. Through tears cutting trails in his grease paint, her father whispers that her happiness was all he'd ever wanted. Looking at this gathering, circus performers and farmers, her children, her new husband, and old family, Eliza understands that true happiness resides in the hearts of those we cherish. Hidden Places demonstrates how buried secrets poison generations, while truth ultimately liberates. Frank Wyatt's deception created ripples extending beyond his death through hidden mortgages and misleading wills. Conversely, when Gabe reveals his identity and Eliza acknowledges her circus past, they discover richer, more complete identities. The novel's central metaphor appears in the orchard, dormant in winter yet blooming each spring. Our painful pasts, like these trees, can become sources of strength when brought to light. As Aunt Batty notes, watching kittens, we all see what we want to see. The challenge lies in viewing ourselves and others with compassion rather than judgment. Ultimately, Eliza discovers belonging comes from authentic connection, not property or status. Her circus family, once hidden in shame, integrates with her new life, creating a richer tapestry than imagined. The orchard transforms from a symbol of controlling legacy to one of new growth, showing how our hidden places, once acknowledged, become fertile ground for our most beautiful lives.